I was curious about why you chose carfilzomib in this situation to pair up with panobinostat as opposed to bortezomib.
Namely because of side effect profile. So although, of course, bortezomib, panobinostat, dexamethasone is FDA approved, and we have a phase 3 study supporting that therapy, that phase 3 study also demonstrated a high number of patients with significant toxicity, particularly GI toxicity. And I've been impressed with the phase 2 study, again, recognizing it's a phase 2 and not phase 3, but with the phase 2 study of carfilzomib, panobinostat, dexamethasone, where the GI profile is much better. Now, that's probably due in part due to the fact that carfilzomib itself isn't as GI toxic as bortezomib is, but also due to the fact that they switched up the dosing of panobinostat so that it's every other week instead of 2 weeks on, 1 week off. And so, you know, again, I was honest in saying that, look, this really just has phase two data behind it. But from a preclinical perspective, I think there's rationale for combining an HDAC inhibitor with a proteasome inhibitor. And again, trying to keep her working for as long as possible meant that I didn't want to give her a therapy where she was running to the bathroom all the time.
And what actually happened? Does she have GI problems?
So it's interesting. She has diarrhea on the weeks that she has panobinostat. She does fine on the weeks that she does not take panobinostat, but it really has been manageable. She manages it with some Imodium, and we have not had to go to extraordinary measures to deal with the diarrhea. We also have not had to dose reduce for any reason. We do see the cyclical thrombocytopenia, but again, at least with each cycle thus far, her platelet count always recovers by the time we're ready to start another cycle.
I think this is really a fascinating case. And when I saw the case, I was thinking to myself, I don't think too many people would have pulled out the panobinostat in this situation, but it obviously worked. And it looks like she clearly was progressing on carfilzomib. So it's almost like a one-patient experiment.
Right. You know, the only difference is that the dose of carfilzomib is a little bit higher. But so with this regimen, it's at 45 milligrams per meter squared. I was using it at 36 milligrams per meter squared when partnered with lenalidomide. But I honestly don't think that that is enough to confer the results that we've seen. I really do think that what we've seen in the preclinical setting with combining HDAC inhibitors and proteasome inhibitors suggests that these HDAC inhibitors can overcome proteasome inhibitor resistance. So I think this is really interesting. Obviously, it's an N of one, but I didn't have a whole lot of options because she really wanted to stay close to home. And at the time, we talked about perhaps trying off-label checkpoint inhibitor therapy with an IMID, and we had kind of discuss the pros and cons of that. And then since then, of course, all the data have come out with respect to the pembrolizumab data and the FDA shutting down those studies. So I subsequently have told her that I would not offer her checkpoint inhibitor therapy at this time.
So just getting back to the panobinostat, because it's been kind of hard for me to get a feel. I ask people when they use it or what their experience is. I kind of get the feeling that it's not on everybody's radar that much, particularly in general oncology practice. When you look at both the laboratory data as well as the clinical data, I mean, obviously it was helpful in this patient, but globally, what are kind of some of the situations where you think about this and how helpful do you think it is?
Well, I'll be honest, this is the first time I've ever prescribed the drug. So I always feel kind of bad for the drug when I'm talking about it because I just never have been willing to use it just because I didn't think that the side effect profile was something that was worth the potential minimal efficacy for patients when combined with bortezomib. However, I have paid attention to obviously the carfilzomib data and also the lenalidomide data, and there have been a few occasions when community docs have called me up kind of at a loss for any other regimens, and I've said, well, you could always try the carfilzomib panobinostat dex. You know, I don't know if they in fact ever did. It is a drug, I think, that has been difficult to think about using just because I don't think the bortezomib partnership is the ideal one from a side effect perspective. But I think from laboratory studies and again from resistance mechanisms perspective, we should be thinking about this drug a little bit more. And certainly based on this experience, I'm now going to have it a little bit more at the forefront of my thoughts when I'm looking at patients who are starting to run out of options.